No, good, good, Chester, and congratulations. You're probably the only puppet I know with a podcast.
Ramaphosa's presidency is more broken than Malusi Gigaba's wedding vows. Why hasn't he pulled his cuck together?
We must seek the help. And you are saying, can it be fixed? Can the ANC be fixed?
Yes.
Is that a serious question? Oh. With money. These are hallmarks of corrupt people who no longer care about society but are using their access to office either for the benefit of their parties, the benefit of their families, the benefit of their friends.
Halala, we are back. We are back with another episode of Real Problem with Chester Missing. And I'm here with one of South Africa's best political analysts. It's Lukhona Mguni. Hey, Lukhona, how's it going?
No, good, good, Chester. And congratulations. You're probably the only puppet I know with a podcast.
I am the only puppet other than Sizwe Mpofu Welsh. Oh, don't. I must call him a puppet. His dad will sue me. I'm going to tell him. No, don't. His dad, Dali, will talk fine. He'll talk my ears off. And that's weird because they're glued on.
Or he'll just punish you by giving you an MK party form.
Oh, that's great. That's just what an MK party form. Do they come with a tender? I don't know how that works.
I'm sure.
Okay, listen. The ANC sold itself as the answer to all our problems, Lukhona. Like if ChatGPT was a political party, can it be fixed? Must we unplug it, give it Viagra and a pacemaker, turn it back on?
Now you've mentioned Viagra, I wanted to say something serious. But anyway, one of my former bosses at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, Professor Zulu, used to call the ANC, it almost behaves like the Holy Spirit of South African politics. But that's the problem. It gets to be all over and it doesn't get much done. Because remember, even the Holy Spirit only helps those who must seek the help. And you are saying, can it be fixed? Can the ANC be fixed?
Yes,
Is that a serious question?
Oh my God. I know the joke's in the question. That's a good point. Listen, Prof Kachali is the Minister of Police. Got to get out these words right, dude.
Yes.
Prof Kachali is the Minister of Police. Senzo Mkhunu is also the Minister of Police. We have so many police ministers, but we still got crime. Isn't that like having an extra Batman and still losing to the Joker?
Well, they say we have Mr. Beans. I don't know if you heard that one.
Who's Mr. Beans?
Prof Kachalia, that's what they call him.
Oh my God, he's like Mr. Beans. He's so little.
That's what they call him in the streets. No,
Mr. Beans.
You know what's actually happening with policing is very concerning, Chester. Because as you are saying, we've got two ministers. We've got a president who clearly doesn't want to make tough decisions, doesn't want to disappoint his friends. But we also clearly have a highly factionalized police force or police service. Now, it almost like it makes the police like they are a political party, but that's because the politicians have their hands there in it all the time. And I think the reason why we are where we are is it's so fractured. It needs to be started all over again. But seems as if nobody wants to make the tough decisions about reforming our police. You'll remember we've been having conversations about reforming police for a very long time. And then, of course, Marikana happened in 2012. Yeah. And then there was the Falam Commission. There was the chapter on policing in the National Development Plan. Do you remember that plan?
Absolutely. It's absurd. The NDP that just vanished. Just gone. They put it on government toilets. If you go to the airport, that is the only, when you're having a piss, that's the only time you ever see a sign that says NDP on it.
Well, in a country where you run out of water, I'm sure you also run out of toilet paper.
Oh, you do. We don't need toilet paper.
You've got the NDP. It's 800 and some change pages.
Exactly.
Anyway,
Jacob Zuma's been using the Constitution as toilet paper for years, so we might as well move over to the NDP. How do we fix a criminal justice system, you know? Unless we get ChatGPT to make decisions for us, must Justice Malala be in charge because his name is Justice? What would we do?
Well, maybe Justice wouldn't be a bad start. Is he in the country, though?
Last time I checked,
he was staying abroad. But, I mean, I think there are some important decisions that need to be taken about the criminal justice system. And part of that is to depoliticize the criminal justice system. And by depoliticize, I mean we need a class of politicians who do not use the criminal justice system to go after, you know, their would-be enemies or problem people in the country, or where you've got the intelligence service being utilized for all the wrong things. They bug our phones, they hack our emails because they think that somehow we are probably planning to, to dethrone the government. And as we are just nice, law-abiding citizens who are exercising our freedom of expression, Chester. I'm not sure if they've got your number.
No, they hacked my OnlyFans account. They saw a picture of a penis and they thought it was Senzo Mkhulu. I'm out! No, but you're right. They do abuse the system. We've been watching that for years. We saw with Arthur Fraser and the state and the SSA, the Secret Service. Listen, Willem Kwenazi be the end of the ANC?
I think he falls close enough to be an undoing. You know, it's one thing when we hear rumors in the streets, Chester. It's another when a top cop, highly decorated cop, very successful cop, and clearly is seen to be doing something right there in KwaZulu-Natal, even though he seems to be shooting at them almost every day. I mean, there's dead bodies, and we all, even if it's at 3 a.m., Dayson, my good friend journalist there at ENCA, always seems to have the scoop. He's up, he's not sleeping.
Bang, but I'm there. Being a journalist in KZN must be exhausting.
It must be tough. And you'll remember we've been dealing with issues of violence in KwaZulu-Natal, political killings, inter-party, intra-party. And I think what Mkhwanazi now is saying is that the politicians are colluding with the criminal underworld. Now, you'll remember people like Reverend Frank Chikane have also been saying these things. People have been talking about new tendencies in the ANC, an ANC cadership that has emerged and so on. But what has Mkhwanazi now managed to do is to confirm for us. And remember, he even reminded the president, oh, by the way, you were sent a letter about the NPA and the Gauteng, director of public prosecutions. Yep. Now the president dusts that letter after 2 years and starts acting. So Mkhwanazi is flirting too close, I think, to exposing the depth of the crisis we may not have been aware of.
I think you've been kind of judgy, Lukona. I always thought you were one of the nicest guys in politics.
I'm not.
You're kind of judgy. You don't know that letter didn't go to Ramaphosa's spam folder.
No.
Maybe he's got a Telkom email account, so the emails only come through a year and a half later.
No, let's leave the judging to Justice Madlanga and his commission. He must do that. Here, we just hit the politicians for what they are.
Smack in their faces. I know Mkhwanazi's going to end the ANC because the first two letters of his name are MK. Thank you.
Now, that's actually an interesting analogy. But have you seen how people have taken to Mkhwanazi? It seems like people want their own Traore here in South Africa. I'm not sure, though, if I am a fan of those kind of things. But, I can see something happen there.
I think he is. I think people really do think he's the next revolutionary king. In fact, that's the next question I want to ask you. Do you think South Africa is going to have a coup? Because didn't we try have a coup in 2021, but our coup came from Chequers? It was baked beans coup. Boom!
Well, I mean, you also know how it upsets your tummy if you eat too much of that coup. So coups are not the best things. But look, I mean, I think, Chester, if you're looking at the political landscape as it is, what gives rise to coups? It's when, you know, a president no longer enjoys support of those who must actually salute him or her. It's when a president in some instances has become relatively too corrupt, or it's when a president has become too absent from their own job. And I think our current president, I mean, we see him, but I think he's not there.
No,
we
he's
see
not
the,
there.
We
he's
see
there,
the body, he's
but he's
there,
not
but,
there.
You know,
it's like the Vodacom cell phone network.
Yes, yeah, so it's like flu. Sometimes you feel hot, sometimes you feel cold, but you are always in between. And I think that kind of thing makes people nervous, particularly, remember, soldiers, police, these are all people who have an oath of allegiance to protect the country and to protect us as citizens. You know, now when you've got a fairly weak president, even that orange guy from that other country might even have funny ideas about what to do with
him. The Nazi Nazi.
Yeah, the Nazi Nazi.
Listen, man, I don't think who would do the coup. I mean, there's no one with the power. It can't be our army. Our army couldn't overtake you on the N1, never mind the country. And the only way our Navy's going to get a working submarine is if we give Bunta all of Misa flippers and a snorkel. So who's going to do the coup?
Well, I mean, it can be a combination of things in terms of how it happens. Remember, you are talking about withstanding external threats in terms of the weaknesses of the army and so on. But when you talk about internally, the question is, what does the army need? All it needs is defiance of its commander-in-chief or a collusion between some generals across, you know, the defense and police. Or in another iteration, what could happen is you get this civil unrest of citizens who are so despondent, who are so squeezed because of their lived experiences and their human condition that is not improving. And then they go to the streets, and then maybe the cabinet or the government says, no, but the police must protect us from these unruly citizens. And then they say, no, we don't want to. We think they are correct. You must leave. And what happens
oh, wow.
in that instance?
Oh, wow. I'm kind of getting excited. Like, if all the Nando's employees decided to overthrow and we're a chief of spicy, I don't... This is kind of... I'm kind of freaking out. Listen, didn't General Mapuania, the head of the army, go to Iran in the middle of our tariff war with America and tell them we support them? Isn't that like getting a side chick while you're going through a divorce? It's like the Tiger Woods approach to international relations.
Well, you probably divorced anyway because the side chicks were there to begin with.
Just side chicks the whole time. How do you think you got the name Cupcake? Okay, I'm out. You're on your own, Lepona.
But of course, you know, General Mapuania goes to Iran, I think really at the height of geopolitical tensions. But the truth is that, you know, the world is changing and we must not be absent from that changing world. We must probably be more honest on who are our friends, who are our enemies. I know we always say we are non-aligned, but if you are a non-aligned person, which is good, because it allows you to have as many conversations with different people as possible.
Yeah.
But at some point, you've got to have friends. You can't be non-aligned forever unless you really are not serious about the business of geopolitics. And is Iran, of course, one of our strategic friends? Yes, and they are also part now of the BRICS Plus, a number of countries who joined BRICS later. So that relationship, as the Minister of Defense said, I mean, the meeting was planned 2 years ago. Of course, we didn't know what would happen. But what I found...
Like, I can't change a meeting.
But it was
in the diary 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
We have no idea how to send WhatsApp. Yeah.
Stuck on you.
It's hilarious.
But what I thought was interesting is how the president and the Minister of Defense reacted. Again, it's this thing of, I don't think that the president is in charge. Chester, you can't tell me that you don't know where your general handler is at any other time. I mean, how can a person take a flight, an entire army chief leaves the country without the commander-in-chief knowing?
I don't buy that story.
I think there's a degree of, deceiving us that we've now just become okay with. We are so used to these politicians lying to us, looking at us straight in the eye, by the way.
Cyril Unamanga Ramaphosa. Listen, why is he so useless? If Ramaphosa is any more useless, he'd be a road in Mpumalanga. Ramaphosa's presidency is more broken than Malusi Gigaba's wedding vows. Why hasn't he pulled his cock together?
I think because, the mere fact that before you came into office, you were already being called Cupcake was telling me that things are not going to be serious.
Not a good sign.
It was a joke from day one. It was not a good sign. And I think he wanted the position to fulfill, past, you remember that he nearly became deputy president to former President Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
And I think he wanted to, what do they call it, bucket list. He wanted to bucket list that. And now that the bucket list has been ticked, he's probably on to other things now.
Look, does the Commission into Police Corruption actually have enough political clout to do anything? Or is this like a fashion consultant at Gwede Mantashe's house? Too little, too late.
You know, the thing about commissions, really, it's about the person who presides over the commission. So if Justice Matlanga really brings all of himself, he brings an open mind and he brings an ability to steer the commission in such a way that it does not seem to have favorites, it is not seen to have no go areas in terms of the work, because remember, it's quite broad. It's about, you know, police, it's about the NPA, it's about the judiciary, it's about, it could really unearth serious things. When you say there are judges, I mean, Mkhwanazi says there's this one judge who's compromised. So we need to get to a point where we know who that judge is.
Did he actually say that? I don't listen to anything. I just get my news from Twitter and Fikile Mbalula's WhatsApps.
Twitter is not a place, man.
It's a place.
You must be in the news.
Called XXXXX.
Well, with Musk, I wouldn't put that.
He's the prick.
He's an absolute one.
He's but the vajayjay.
I thought he was your distant cousin.
He is. I'm a white pup with a white guy's hand in my ass. That's basically Elon Musk's Twitter profile.
So, Mkhwanazi, if he brings an open mind, he's authoritative enough and he's not scared. Because what happens sometimes with commissions, I mean, you look at the Seriti Commission into the arms deal. It was tossed out by the courts because they didn't feel that the commission did justice. There are some commissions where people feel, you know, they didn't go far enough, whether it's the Mpati Commission on the PIC, where those people get their billions. I know you don't have billions. You are like me. We're both poor.
Yeah, we are. are both. I'm very poor because I don't have an ID book, so I don't even have a bank account. I don't even get paid to do this podcast.
So you can't even get 350.
I can't even go get myself a basic income grant.
That's terrible.
Nothing.
That's terrible.
Fuck off.
That's terrible.
I know. Fikile Mbalula and I are the same. He also doesn't have any money.
And he has fuck all as well.
Yes, he does have fuck all. You've seen his clothes sense. He's clearly winning his stuff from the lottery. Listen.
And he's got yellow tracksuits as well.
Who the hell buys yellow tracksuits? Please, man. Who are you? Kenny Konani's sushi provider. What the hell's going on? Listen, man. Why did Ramaphosa do nothing to clean up the state at all? I mean, he's you could see he's married. In 2018, he tells us, we're going to clean things. I'm going to clean. And then later, he had done no cleaning.
Well, I'm sure he was still cleaning his house. But
We know he's not cleaning his house because someone took the money out his couch and he didn't notice.
Well, look,
he got cleaned out.
I think Ramaphosa came into office with so much goodwill from the general public. People had really hoped that, he would be the guy who undoes what Zuma, had done. But I'm wondering, he was second in command during Zuma's time. So maybe, as that person says, they were together in the crook place.
Yes, of course they were. He was right there.
It's also an indictment on the ANC, Chester, that the ANC no longer takes South Africans seriously. There used to be a time, even when you read documents, I don't know if you can read, but even when you read documents of the ANC, they were so serious. They were debating the heart of issues, and there was some progress, whether it's the economy and so on. And you can say whatever you want, whether it was a commodities boom or whatever, but something was happening. But now you look at the unemployment statistic, you look at the GDP statistics, it's like we are just moving nowhere slowly.
But why did that happen? Why did our economy just sink? Is it Jacob Zuma started it and Ramaphosa finished it? Is it the ANC? Is it the natural result of apartheid's legacy? What is it?
I think like I'm saying, the ANC stopped being serious about the business of governing. And of course, Ramaphosa could have come and done things differently. Yeah. But guess what? In his current cabinet now, I think he has about 4 or 5 matriculants as ministers in this country. You are not taking that country seriously. You are not communicating to South Africans that, it's almost like politics over everything. And that's where the problem is. There's been too much politics, and less policy.
Well, there was a lot of P's. Politics.
Triple P.
Listen, Ramaphosa was our last hope, and now all we've got is Mashatile and a guy whose nickname is literally Razmataz. What the fuck are we going to do?
You're going to be finished. They are going to finish you off. You are going to be so depressed. There's nothing nice coming.
You're not a very happy person.
No.
Oh my gosh. Saw that shirt. I thought we were going to have a fun time. And here you are depressing me.
No, the shirt must bring color, but the politics are not colorful at all. I'm trying to impress you with this nice
shirt. It was sexy.
Shirt,
it was like, oh my God, this guy has got fashion sense. He's going to rock us with some fun time. Okay, listen, man. President Ramaphosa set up a national dialogue. What is the point? Because to me, it looks like you're going up to a starving guy and he says, I need food. I'm starving. And Ramaphosa's going, okay, let's talk about it. Let me show you a picture of some food.
By the way, it was not even his own grand idea. The national dialogue did not come from him. He was convinced by the Thabo Mbeki Foundation in particular, after former President Thabo Mbeki had called for it when he was reflecting at Freedom Park at 30 years of South Africa's democracy. And that's why, didn't you see former President Thabo Mbeki coming out saying there has not been a national dialogue? It has not started.
Oh my God.
What happened?
I know. What happened was
a misnomer. He said it's a misnomer.
Thabo Mbeki's ultimate backstabber, bro, and he does it with a pipe in his mouth.
And the two guys have been backstabbing each other for a very, very long time. So the history of their disconnection is actually about 30 years long plus.
So Chester, we're just in the middle of a family feud.
We are in the middle of a family feud of adults. And now if the elders are fighting, how can the house be in order?
We'll never fix it. Corruption, crime, legacy of apartheid have undermined South Africa's social fabric. How do we even begin to fix that? Must we all learn to dance Jerusalem? Must Kirk Darren sing Mshini Wam? What's got to happen in the corner?
No, there's now Magumba, man. Why are you still Magumba? Sifuna Magumba. Oh, my boy loves that song, eh? Any society, Chester, needs leaders. And I think there has to be an emergence of of youthful, and by youthful I don't mean just young people in terms of 18 to 35, but I mean energetic, visionary leadership that is unapologetic about what needs to be done, that is unapologetic about implementing what the constitution of the country is calling for. But to tell you the real truth, the only way you find change is if we get serious politicians to become our leaders. I don't think you are inspired by the lot when you see them coming on television. I mean, we even had that other minister who was busy undermining a portfolio chairperson in parliament,
I have no idea. Was
she chewing food or
gum? Oh, my
gum?
God. Oh, my God. Minister of Higher Education.
Yes. Now, you need...
Mkabane, God.
And she's
woman.
And she's youthful, right? She's youthful. She's not,
yeah.
She's
but
not
old. But like millennial, like a teenage
yes, but,
child
but
kind
she
of way.
She behaves so badly. So there has to chest up. To need to be an emergence of different leaders, of leaders who take this country seriously, and of leaders who have a vision to wake up and go do their job rather than to wake up and go do a job heist.
It's a job heist. Well, that's what they're doing. They're doing a job heist, and I think you've summed it up perfectly. Final question. How do we stop the revolution becoming xenophobic? Because those Operation Dudula idiots think it's Zimbabweans who colonize South Africa and not the English.
So I think we've got two serious challenges. So it's the revolution becoming both xenophobic and racial at the same time, and really then citizens losing focus of what, you know, the true enemy is, which is an inefficient government, rather than fighting among themselves. I mean, if you look at these actions by your Operation Dudula, your AfriForum, your Solidarity, and so on, I mean, they even have billboards, those ones, when you drive up the N1 towards Pretoria on Bludes or Oranje. Like, why beginning to differentiate yourself? And I think how we do it again is to say, there has to be a defined center of organizing people. Once people are scattered, once people are not organized, they will self-organize and you will not like how they organize.
That's true.
Why I'm saying, you know, this national dialogue had potential actually to be that organizing ability, because what we are missing now, Chester, in South Africa is a social contract that brings us together. Because now we all have these, you know, isms that are emerging. People are fighting. Your Patriotic Alliance, I don't know if they are fighting for TK Molefe and other gangsters, or they're
fighting. Nobody knows what
the they're fighting for. Colored.
Nobody knows. I have no idea. The Gayton McKenzie's son, that's what they're fighting for. There are the isms, and I don't know how
and
we
stop. And they're buying soccer clubs now.
And they're buying soccer clubs. Isn't it amazing how politicians' kids suddenly become business
geniuses?
Where
do they get this money from?
It's amazing. It's a miracle. Every politician's kid suddenly gets an MBA in business from Harvard.
But I think, Chester, even ourselves, when we are talking to each other, is to motivate South Africans to really still fight on the side of nation building. Because that's what we've actually lost. I mean, I think around 1994 onwards, now, and this is not to romanticize the Rainbow Nation, but there was enough effort to say, let's nation build. Let's make the trade-offs. Yes, even if they were beginning to happen reluctantly, just that the politicians sometimes took for themselves and their families in terms of, you know, shares from companies and all of this when implementing, triple BEE now it's called. But I mean, employment equity has tried to level, for example, the workplace. There are emerging, young, talented black leaders in business as well and in different corporates. And remember, before 1994, there were all the Jobs Reservation Acts and all of these things. So we were actually on the right path, Chester, to open up. But the corrupt wanted the vault and then
stole the hope of a just and fair reconciliation.
Yes, and
it's a load of bullshit, those scumbag bastards.
And then they stuffed dollars on couches and mattresses. I'm still fascinated by the idea that you can just, you know, open a couch and stuff it with money. These are hallmarks of corrupt people who no longer care about society, but are using their access to office either for the benefit of their parties, the benefit of their families, the benefit of their friends.
Exactly. And I think that by now the Mkhwanazi Commission is the iceberg and Ramaphosa is the Titanic and the ANC are the Titanic. Ignore the fact that icebergs are white. Thank you, Lukhona. You were absolutely fantastic.
Chester, always a pleasure.
I love you, man. You're a genius.
Love you too, man.
Please like, watch, share, and subscribe. Let us know in the comment section who wants next. That was the amazing Lukhona Mguni. We'll see you next time. Bye.